as my son rode into the city, he rode on the back of a donkey, the colt of a donkey. And on that day, he was sending a message. The King of Israel has come. The Messiah. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when he rode in, faith was stirred. Faith in a kingdom of heaven on earth. Faith of the Christ, of the Messiah. Faith for deliverance. Faith for all the things that are contained in the Word of God. For all the promises from Adam on. Faith was stirred for all of these things. So faith is stirring again in the nation. It's stirring again in my church, declares God. From all the places in the earth, in every nation, every peoples, every continent, faith is stirring again. For again, they've seen the crossing through the Red Sea. And they've seen the waters part. And the enemy has chosen to follow into those waters, thinking if they did it, we can too. But they will fail, declares God. For as I will part the waters for those who belong to me, so I will close it on those who pursue me out of their own lust and out of their own greed. And the waters are beginning to close in on the enemy. And they are drowning, and they don't even know it. They still think, the Pharaoh of this world still believes that he can overcome the Christ who rode into Jerusalem. But my Christ, though he were killed, yet I raised him on the third day, declares the Father. And today he is the Lord of the resurrection. And in this day, I am resurrecting faith. My church is feeling the stir. And as faith arises, so do the Pharisees, so do the scribes, so do the hypocrites, those who have called on my name but do not believe in my power, says God. And you see in many churches even, those who have gained wealth and power and position by using the name of my son, and yet they are being challenged this day because my word is causing a separation and a division among my people and those who are called by my name. For many have been called, but yet few have been chosen. And this is a time of the division that it begins when the tares are being separated from the wheat. And my angels are causing it to come to pass, declares God. For faith is arising again. And people have seen a glimmer of the coming of the Son of God. And they've seen him pushed out of politics, seen him pushed out of education, pushed out of all the areas of life. And yet now, at the near breaking point, my people are saying, no more shall we be denied. No more shall we be the ones hiding in the closet, but they are coming out. And their faith is coming out with them, declares God. And they are threatening every power, every stronghold, every political position, every philosophical position. They are challenging the educational systems in the world that have been raised on the ideas of men that have proven to fail, and they have sequestered the kingdom of God that always works. So this is the day not to grow faint, but it's the day to let your faith increase. It's the day to hide yourself in my word and to cover yourself up with my glory, declares God. For as my glory pours out, it is revelation, it is light, it is healing, it is mercy, it is power, it is strength for those who believe, but it is condemnation for those who will not, who have chosen to walk in the dark side. But all this is because faith has risen. and is continuing to rise across this great country. And I will restore the light to the city on the hill. And I am removing the basket that has covered up that glory for so long. And it shall shine from sea to sea, declares the Lord. Whoo! Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Those who oppose me are talking about values and morals. While they declare that living babies fresh from the womb are not human, and they talk about morals. It's an insult to me, declares God, for the heathen to talk about righteousness when they have no righteousness except their own. And I am revealing their dirty rags that are soaked with the blood of humanity, daring to equal themselves to the righteousness of my Son who gave his blood so that people could be saved. Put your faith into my Son. Put your faith into my word, my spirit, declares God. For that truth will set you free from the limitations and the confinements that the God of this world has placed upon my people. For the shackles are coming off, and the doors to the jail are opening again, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's start out with our favorite Bible verse, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Say it with me. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. I want to emphasize thanks to God. This is our 35th anniversary as a congregation. 35 years, and they said we wouldn't make it. Now, actually, some people did say we wouldn't make it. they said it the first year. I was thinking this morning as Debbie was sharing it, when we started Living Faith, I called up because we had just got the left foot of fellowship from a denominational church for healing people on Sundays. That was their main issue. I kid you not. And when I called up one of my friends I knew on the general board and up in the standings in the denomination, he said, well, Gordon, why don't you start a church? And he says, after 3 or 4 years, we'll bring you back into the denomination and we'll make you a national church so that the local district doesn't have any control over you. I said, Ralph, think about this. If you won't support us now, I mean, they wanted us to come back in. So they knew we weren't wacko. Do you understand? They knew we weren't nuts because he's offering to bring us back in. I said, if you're not going to support us now, why would we ever want to come back? And he thought for a second. He says, I don't know. I said, well, thank you. I appreciate all the advice, the counsel you've given me through the last year, but thank you, but no thanks. And so when we launched Living Faith, it was God. Debbie and I were both praying. We had offers to go back to Ohio to start a church there. We had some supporters back there and some friends. And they said, you know, you come back, we'll start a church, we'll back you up. And I tell you, there are a lot more people, a lot more opportunities and things like that. And Debbie and I both prayed, and God told us, he said, I called you here. So this is where we be. If you don't like me, talk to God. It's his fault. Hallelujah. But I tell you, it's been 35 wonderful years. As Debbie said, we've had ups and downs, but it's been 35 great years. And our founding scripture that God gave me for Living Faith is Luke 18:8. And what it says is, Jesus is talking and giving the story about the unjust judge and the woman coming to the unjust judge. And after a while, she just wears him down. And finally, he just says, I'll give you what you want, just so you won't bother me anymore. And Jesus says, I tell you that he, like the unjust judge, but this is God, that he will avenge them speedily. That God is not like an unjust judge, but God will avenge us speedily. You don't have to beg and plead and cry and moan, because God is not an unjust judge. He says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? That is a haunting question. We named our church Living Faith because we want to make a bold statement that when Jesus returns, there will be at least one place in the earth that has faith. At least one place that will believe God, that will believe his word. Now, I believe there's lots of others, but I'm not worried about the others. I'm worried about this place. I'm worried about Kaiser. I'm worried about this region. I'm worried about this area. Will there be a place, a beacon, where there is faith in the earth? Amen? And so I want to be that place. Hallelujah. Now, we've had a lot of different things. We had a discussion about this among the directors the other day. But go ahead and put up our what I call our mission statement, that we are a servant church, a family church, and a teaching center, taking the love of God to our community, our nation, our world. That was one of the statements that we formed and has been a guiding principle to us for a number of years. And as we were talking about this, we just taught this and taught this and taught this and taught this. And Casey Treat said, vision is never taught, it's caught. And we taught and taught and taught and taught. The problem is, most of the congregation never caught it. Okay, so it kind of fell into disuse because nobody was catching it. And we kept saying it and nobody caught it. And so we went on to another. The next slide up that Stephen has. I don't have these in my notes, so I'm kind of relying on him. So we came up with how to shorten it, how to condense it. Preaching the uncompromised word, walking in faith and victory, where excellence is a way of life, is a comment about our church. And these are things that we practice. These are things we've always done. We want to rise up to a level of excellence. We want to rise up to a level that is above normal, to where people want to pattern themselves off of what our church does. And by that, the people will pattern their lives off of what you do, because you're the church, okay? So we're to live an exemplary life so that others can see what Christ has done in our life. That's why Nancy's, where's Nancy? She's out fixing lunch. Where Nancy's testimony is so powerful, where Linda's testimony is so powerful, where Roxanne's is so powerful, and other people in this church, where Alan's is so powerful, because of what God has done. You know, this doesn't come by our own figuring out, this is what God has done. And so this excellence is a way of life, of pursuing. And we figured it out that, you know, this is really talking about faith yet. That when the Son of God returns, will he find faith in the earth? Now the next slide up, because we thought, how do we express this? How do we get out? And so we started calling ourselves a church with answers. And with that, we had answer night on Sunday nights, where anybody can come with answers. And we were really hoping that the community and that you would help invite people in the community. Do you want to know what church is about? Do you understand about the Holy Spirit? Do you understand about where does trouble in life comes from? What about a troubling Bible scripture that you don't understand? Where it could be a night where people could come and say, hey, this is a tough scripture, and I don't understand it. And so we started answers night, because we're the church with answers. But it still talks about faith. And everything we do always goes back to Luke 18:8. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in the earth? Well, this morning we came up with a new one. The Church of the Non-Snookered. We're the Church of the Non-Snookered. Because we're not falling for fake religion. We're not falling for a bunch of religious platitudes. I tell you, faith will challenge you. Faith will either make you mad or stir you up. When you talk about faith, you will not be neutral. You will either say, I believe it, or you will say, I don't see how. You know, that's why it's by faith. If you could see how, you wouldn't have to have faith. Amen? I'll let it go at that. There's so much I could preach on. But one of the life-changing scriptures for Debbie and I, and I'm trying to go through this very quickly because I want to get into why we preach faith. That's my message this morning. Why do we preach faith? And why do we preach it so strongly? But this is the verse that God really stirred Debbie and me with. And it opened my eyes to so many areas. And it was a beginning scripture for me to really get into the Word of God. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Well, I had that part figured out. I just didn't know what faith was. I didn't understand this, but I knew that without faith, it is impossible to please God. But here's this part that really shook me up. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, okay, I can check that off, and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's the part that I had never seen before. God is a rewarder. Yes. Do you know how many Christians don't know that? They have no concept that God is a rewarder. Well, you serve, because I was raised that way. You serve God all your life. You do all the good stuff. You try to live as best as you can. But don't expect any benefit out of it. And one of the reasons the wealth message is knocked so much is because the Jewish had an understanding that if you are wealthy, it's because you are favored of God. Not just financially. And in America, when they started preaching wealth, well, part of that was tied into that Jewish understanding that if you are wealthy, if you have possessions, you are favored of God. And immediately we all think, well, I'm not a billionaire. You don't have to be a billionaire to be wealthy. Wealthy is an attitude. Wealthy is having your needs met. If you have your needs met, if you've got food for tonight to snack on in the cupboard, you are wealthy. Because I'm telling you, 2/3 of the world doesn't. They don't even have access to potato chips. They don't even have access to fresh milk. They don't have access to meat. They don't have access to fresh fruit. It just simply does not exist in their world. In their habitat. And we are blessed abundantly in all of that. But people start knocking the wealth message, prosperity message, because, well, you're just seeking after money. No, wealth is a benefit of serving God. He is a rewarder. And when Debbie and I found that out, we started thinking, well, what does he reward us with? And we started getting into the Word and started looking at the promises, because if God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, there's benefits to being a Christian. It's not about suffering all my life. Now, I always ask at this point, but what about the martyrs? What about those who give their all for God? God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. They're still getting a reward, okay? Rewards are not limited to the natural world, but neither are they only relegated to the next world. God will bless you now and in the future. Amen? So it's not when God blesses you. It's believing that God does bless us, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, like I said, this scripture turned my life around because I was raised on do good, get good, do bad, get bad. But I could never figure out what was good and what was bad. Because some people say, well, this is good. And other people say, no, that's bad. And some people say, well, that's bad. And other people say, no, that's good. And it's like, I was confused because I'm getting all these conflicting messages. Isaiah 5:20 says, woe to those who call good evil, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And there's a whole lot of that going on in the church. We're calling, we're calling prosperity evil. We're calling healing evil. Do you know how many churches today still preach that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is demonic? Jesus said, don't leave town without it. He said, if you ask God for the Holy Spirit, he will not give you a demon. But yet there's still people, oh, well, that's demonic. No. See, the devil is always out to sow discord, and he does it by calling good evil and evil good. And we can see that in our culture today. If you want to define and know what evil is, look at those calling family values evil. A man and a woman married evil. I keep reminding people of this. At the very most, this is now a scientific study. It's been proven, documented several times in the last 10 years or so. homosexuals at most, at the absolute most, only make up 2% of our population. Married couples make up a whole bunch more, men and women. And yet we're the evil ones. We're the wicked ones for believing in marriage between a man and a woman. It's like, could someone explain the logic of that? Well, part of the logic is they want to reduce the population of the earth. And so if we all have our sex without having the risk of having children, we'll depopulate the world and we'll save the planet. Isn't that a good thing? God said children are a blessing of the Lord. And that's not my message, but I'm just telling you, Satan is sowing division and doubt in order to stop the word of God. Now, there are six reasons that we preach faith. I want to go to Mark 11, 22 to 26. I'm going to have to just rush through this. I'm going to give you the highlights of it. But six reasons why we preach faith. In Mark 11, 22, it says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God." That is not a suggestion. It's a commandment. Have faith in God. Verse 23, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain," this is a reason to have faith in God, "I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea." A mountain is a problem. It's a spiritual stronghold. It can be physical if your faith is up to that point. But I believe mostly it's talking about our problems and our issues in life. It says, "Be removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says." 24, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Now, just from those few verses, you begin to understand faith is important. It helps me live. It's not a side issue. It's not something I can pick up and lay down. It's a way of life. Because we all have problems, amen? We all have issues in our life. Well, if without faith, you will succumb to your problem. Your problem will overtake you if you don't have faith in something other than your problem. Well, what we need to have faith in is God. And once you have faith in God, then you can have faith that if I speak to my problem, praise God, I can overcome it. It'll have to flee. It'll have to leave me. It has to do what I tell it to do. And most of us pet our problems. Here, problem. Come here, come here. Come here, problem. Ooh, you're so cute. You're so fuzzy. You do that, they don't go away. You know what they say about stray cats? If you feed them, they're yours. Yeah. You know, if you feed your problem, you're going to keep them. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen? Okay, so six reasons why we preach faith. Number one, faith does not come by accident. You don't get faith just by coming to church. You don't get faith walking through the church doors. You don't get faith by singing a hymn. You don't get faith by reading a scripture. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God, by the revelation of God. You don't just hear it once. You've got to hear it over and over and over and over. Doctrine, you can read it once and say, I got it. Because doctrine doesn't speak. Doctrine's just doctrine. But rhema, rhema. We'll talk. And as I get more into rhema, it just, the more I hear, the more it talks to me, the more it talks to me. He is a rewarder of those who diligently search him. Well, seek him. Well, what does that mean? Oh, it means this. Oh, then the next day I'm meditating on it. Oh, it means this. I see this. I say, and light starts going off. And it's like fireworks until the whole sky is just so bright that all I can see is God is a rewarder in every area of life. Now, the area of life that I do not believe that God is a rewarder, I won't get reward in that area because I don't believe it. Well, I believe healing's passed away. Well, then it won't work for you. Well, I believe my wife is going to divorce me, probably. Because that's what your faith is. I'm no good to live with. Nobody want to live with me, probably. You know, I'm just trying to shock you right now, but it's like, but think about it. If you speak to your mountain and tell it to be commanded to be lifted up and cast into the sea, it will obey you. If you believe these things, when you say it, you shall have what you say. So faith, if I'm going to have faith in God, it's not going to come by accident. It doesn't come because I walk into a church and boom, faith just drops on me. I wish. But I've got to choose. See, faith is always a choice. I'm choosing to believe God irrespective of what's going on around me. I choose to believe Him regardless of how I feel. I choose to believe Him regardless of anything that I see with my natural understanding. I see revival. I see the move of God. I see my healing coming. See, faith comes by hearing it over and over and over until it finally manifests itself in your heart. And all of a sudden, you know that you know that you know and you believe it. And you don't have to try to convince yourself to believe it. It is just a reality in your life. Amen. Faith comes by giving our attention to God and what He has spoken to us. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. It doesn't come by listening to music. That can help, that can reinforce, that can benefit. But faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Faith is a force that comes out of the born-again spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that affects your circumstances. Go to Romans 10:8, Stephen. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. He said, if you've heard us, that faith is in your heart. But now you've got to get it from your heart into your mouth. You've got to speak it. So you've got to do and release faith the way that God has caused faith to operate. You've got to speak these things. Second reason why we preach faith. And I already said this out of Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you want to please God, it'll have to be by your faith. Not that God answers to our faith, but our faith is in what God has already done, as God has already made the provision. See, I can't believe God for something that He didn't promise, but if He promised it, I can have faith in it. And a lot of our disappointed faith is because we're believing something, you don't have a word on it. God did not tell you that. But it's in the Bible. But did you hear it? Has God spoken it to you? Well, what does that mean? That means you've got to hear the word until faith comes. You've got to meditate on the word until it becomes more real to you than anything else. That's when God quickens it in you. Now faith, faith is in God. See, it's impossible to please Him without faith. So we preach faith. Why? So you can please God. So you and God can get on the same page. So you're not opposing one another. Well, God, did you really mean this when you said this? Yes, He did. I'll answer the question. Yes, He did. He meant it when He said it. He said what He meant. He meant what He said so you wouldn't get confused. He made it so simple you have to mistranslate it to not have faith in it. The third reason we preach faith, you cannot be saved without faith. Isn't that powerful? Ephesians, and we've been talking about in our regular series that Jesus came in the earth to save us from our sins. Well, from all the effect of our sin, all the confusion and everything else that sin can causes in our life. In Ephesians 2:8, it says, you cannot be saved without faith, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. See, God's grace is given to me. But if I don't have faith in the grace, it won't work for me because I'm not receiving it as a gift of God. So many of us, we miss our faith because we're trying to work it up. We're trying to have faith in our faith instead of faith in the grace of God. And so when our faith isn't strong enough, our lack of faith condemns us because you're putting faith in your faith. See, when I take my car, because you all know I'm not a mechanic, when I take my car into the shop to have somebody that knows what he's doing working on it, I don't stand over his shoulder. Are you sure you're doing that right? Don't you need to do this other thing before you do that? See, I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm trying to have faith in him based on my knowledge, but I don't know what I'm doing. So the only way I can have faith in the mechanic is I trust he's been to training. He's done this several times. You know, like the ad on TV, are you good at brakes? Eh, we're okay. I'm okay. You know, you don't want me working on your brakes because I'll throw away the extra parts. You know, but see, God knows how to do it. So if I have faith in God, you know what you're doing. I'm not going to oversee you. I'm not going to challenge you. I'm not going to question. You know what you're doing. You know how to do it. God, I'm just trusting in your grace and mercy because you know what you're doing and I don't. And so when you're trying to have faith in your faith, you're trying to tell God how it ought to work. God knows more than you do. If you haven't figured that out yet, he knows more than you do. The fourth reason, my fourth reason we live by faith, I'll give you Galatians 3:11. This is a fourth reason. The just shall live by faith. Now, if we all know that, there's three verses that say that, and I want to give all three of them to you because they're good. Galatians 3:11 says, but that no one is justified by the law. See, we try to justify ourselves by the law, by legalism. He said, no, it won't work. First, it won't work. Why? Because the just live by faith. That's why the law doesn't work, because the law doesn't involve faith. You can fulfill the law and not believe in God at all. I can drive 55 in the right mile zone and not have any faith that it's doing any benefit for me. I can obey the law, but I don't have faith in it. I can obey God, but not have any faith in it. It's not the law, it's faith. The just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Faith doesn't draw back. Faith doesn't draw back. If you really have faith, you see the end from the beginning and there's no quit. There's no reason to quit. Why? I see the end from the beginning. Why? If I see the end, why should I quit halfway there? It's like playing a football game and saying, okay, we may be ahead in the first half, but I don't trust the second half, so I'm not going back out on the field. I'm just going to stay in the locker room because I don't want to lose that second half. If you have faith, you're going to win. If you have faith, you can do this. I like Coach Lombardi. He said, we've never lost a football game. So what? How? He said, we've never lost a football game. He said, we just ran out of time. So you give us enough time, we'll win. We'll beat them. But sometimes you just run out of time. But see, he had confidence. And he built that into his players. That's why they won so much. Do you know they were the first team to win 5 Super Bowls before they had Super Bowls? They were the world champions in football 5 years running, and then after them they decide we're going to start doing a Super Bowl. It's the same teams playing. Nothing differed except the name above the thing. So Vince Lombardi won 5 Super Bowls with the Green Bay Packers before they had a Super Bowl. I like that because I like the Green Bay Packers. Liked them back then anyway. Hallelujah. Habakkuk 2:4. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. If you're proud, your soul is not upright. Because if you're proud, you're living out of your own resources. You're living out of your own confidence, your own abilities. And the Bible says the just shall live by faith. This is not something you try on. This is not something you just do for a season. This is how you live your life. Okay, the fifth reason why we preach faith. Faith, I like this, overcomes the world. Isn't that powerful? 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. See, I'm a world conqueror, the Bible says. The Bible goes on to say, I am more than a world conqueror. But what overcomes the world is not me, it's my faith in God. When I have faith in God, the world doesn't matter anymore. I've already overcome it. The fear, the temptation, all the troubles that it can bring, I've already overcome it. I'm not trying to overcome it. I have overcome it because of Christ in me. Amen. And so whatever is born that of God, by faith I'm born again. By faith I'm living righteously. By faith I'm doing all these things. And by faith I've overcome the world. Glory to God. Well, what does that mean? Well, just look at the world. You've overcome it. Whatever it is, greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. Why? Because he's overcome it. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome it. I have overcome the world. God gives us all kinds of really good things. You can make a whole sermon out of every one of these. I'm really trying to go fast. The verse we say every week, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, say it with me. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. See, this. He's triumphant. Man, this is so powerful. The sixth reason why we preach faith. I'll just give you Romans 14:23. He who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin. Sixth reason we preach faith, whatever is not of faith is sin. Now that'll get you. See, if I don't have confidence of God in what I'm doing, it's sin. Because I'm now relying on me. I'm now trusting in me, in my knowledge, in my accumulation of facts, and all that I can do, and I'm not trusting God. See, one of the things about faith is when you really walk by faith, you get your eyes off of you. You start looking to God. With God, say it with me, all things are possible. But without God, nothing's possible. See, when you walk in faith, you get your eyes off of you. You get your eyes off of your circumstances because they tie you down to this world and they limit you every single time. Faith, you begin to lift up your head. I like it when in the Bible he tells, I think it's, I don't know who it was he tells, but he said, lift up your head, look to the mountains from whence cometh your help. See, they're in battle. Don't look at the enemy. Don't look at the problems around you. Lift up your head. Look to the hills. Well, the hills are representative of God. Look to the hills, because from God is going to come your help. I like David when he went out and God says, the enemy is coming out against you. He says, hide your men in the forest. He says, don't attack them until you hear the sound of the Spirit in the mulberry leaves. I mean, he probably had a couple good opportunities to attack. He probably could have said, Lord, this is a good time. Lord, I got him right where I want him. Now, this is it. But there was no wind in the leaves. So he waited. He waited. Probably, if I was David, it's probably longer than I would want to wait. Because I get a little bit eager sometimes. I want to jump the gun. I want to, let's go, God, you're behind me. That's the problem. He's behind me. He needs to be in front of me. Amen. I need to follow him, not having God play and catch up with me and cover up my mistakes. Yeah, we've all been there. So David sits there, and he's waiting and waiting, got the men ready. Okay, guys, get ready. I believe it's coming soon. And they're all ready. Now, David. No, not yet. I don't hear anything. What's he listening for? He's the king. We will do whatever he tells us. What is David listening for? The wind. He's listening for the moving of the Spirit because he knew enough about God. If I get ahead of God, we could lose the battle that God has destined for us to win. And when he heard the leaves blow, when he heard the wind in the trees, he knew the Spirit of the Lord has gone before us. Guys, now's the time. See, and they went out and they defeated the enemy and took the land. Hallelujah. See, the neat thing about this, whatever is not of faith is sin, Jesus did what he saw his Father do. He did what he heard his Father do. See, our faith is in God. Six reasons we preach faith. It'll save your life. It'll turn you from light or from darkness into light. It will change the course and the direction of your life. And I know some people don't like it. Well, you guys are just always pressuring us. I'm not trying to pressure you. I'm trying to set you free. I'm trying to get you out of your prison that you're in. I'm trying to get you out of the hole that you've dug. that you've fallen into, because you've got to lift up your eyes. You've got to look to the hills. You've got to look to a source bigger than you. Otherwise, you'll never get out of where you're at. So understand, somebody said, you preachers are always mad. I hope you don't see me as angry. I hope you don't see me as mad. But I'm mad at the devil because I see areas where he's stolen out of your life. I've seen areas where he's destroyed dreams and hopes and visions in your life. And God said, I think it was last year, he said, I am restoring those dreams and those visions to my people. I'm bringing them back again. See, we ought to get mad at the devil. Don't get mad at the preacher preaching faith. Get mad at the devil that he has robbed you, that he has stolen from you. And I love it. The Bible says, and he will restore the years of the locust, of what he has eaten, what he has devoured. God will restore all of those things to us. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Isn't this a wonderful blessing that God has given to us, that he who is in us has overcome the world? And we are overcomers because of him. That's why we believe. That's why we have faith in God. That's why we keep preaching this. And I know sometimes we preach it hard. When we just got back from visiting a church in Ohio, and bless God, the Spirit of God's there. You know what I mean? The Spirit of God is there. The people are hungry for God. They have no shepherd. Nobody to really lead them. The sermons are good. Sermons are basic. But there's no faith stirring in there. And yet, when we talk to in Sunday school, Debbie and I, we try to be quiet. We really do. I mean, believe me. I know it's a hard when you know me. But we really try to be silent. We really try not to say anything because we don't want to rattle the cage because we're not there to feed them. You know, we're not there to take care of them. We're not there to nurture them. So you can only go so far. And this one guy followed us out of Sunday school class, and he grabs my elbow and says, Gordon, he says, we appreciate it so much when you and Debbie come to class. Man, what you say, it's just so wonderful. He's got tears coming down his eyes. Have you guys ever thought about moving back here? It's like, no. No, hasn't entered my mind. We'd love for you to come. Even if Debbie's family doesn't come, you guys can still come to church if you want to. It's just like, we only say a few things. But I know, because I know the people. We actually do know some of the people in that church. We graduated with some of them. But we don't know that many people in that church. I don't know the heart of the congregation that much. I know they love God. I know the Spirit of the living God is there among them. I know they're moving forward in some areas, and praise God for that. But, you know, if I would go and preach, I would split that church. Because I'm going to preach faith. Not because I'm mean. This has changed my life. This has set me free. See, I'm preaching what I've lived, what I'm living. I'm not giving you a bunch of platitudes that, well, I hope this works if we try it. You know, maybe if we all get together, well, maybe this will work. I don't know. It's like, no, I'm telling you, this stuff works. And it works every time. Because God is faithful. He watches over his word to perform it. And if we get that word in us, God's watching over us to perform the word he's put in us. Because God wants to see it come to pass more than we do. He wants to see you elevated more than you do. He wants to see you come out of your darkness more than you do. He wants to set you free. That's what Jesus came for. Because he knew we couldn't do it by ourselves. But Jesus could, and Jesus did. And he's made the way if we will just believe and accept him and receive him into our lives as Lord and Savior and live for him. Get our eyes off of us. Get our eyes off of our circumstances. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? If he comes while I'm living, the answer is yes. I hope that can be your answer today. Yes, I choose to live by faith. Let's stand. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you that when we called on you, when we asked Jesus to come into our heart, when we asked to be made born again and made remade and recreated, Father, in your spirit, God, we had no clue what we were even asking, but God, you came to us because of your compassion. You came to us because of your love, Father. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us the gift of faith. You've given that, Lord, not just a little, you have given us faith. That if we will set ourselves to listen to you, to to listen for the moving of your Spirit in our lives, that we will follow after you, Lord, that that faith will deliver us. It will keep us, it will keep our feet on the right path. It will keep us walking straight, and it will keep us from falling into any traps that are set for us. We thank you, God, for faith that saves us, that delivers us, that brings us out of many, many storms. And God, we look to you. We thank you, Father, for Jesus that has come into our life. Father, I want to pray now over the meal that we're about to receive in the natural. And Lord, I pray for that food to nourish us and strengthen us and edify us, God, and our fellowship, Lord, to build us up, even as you and your Spirit and Jesus build us up in the things of God. So, Lord, we pray your blessing on the food, on all the people that have worked to prepare it, and, Father, for all those that consume it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.